With the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. Jim's Razorback Pizza with three locations throughout Central Arkansas. Highway 10 just past Taylor Loop and Little Rock, just off the Morgan Maumelle exit, and in Hot Springs off Central Avenue at the Temperance Hill Square.
All right. Well, Jim, we were talking Razorback hoops a moment ago. We'll get back into that in a minute. It is Mississippi State Week, and a Mississippi State team that apparently pleased their fan base by playing Alabama pretty well this last week. So,
yeah, still lost.
Yeah.
There's Alabama was a little flat. But I give it to Mississippi State for, you know, competing hard at A&M. Only lost by 10 there. 51-41. Sounds like a basketball game. And they do look like they may have a few more athletes than Arkansas has, particularly on defense. So they could cause some problems for Arkansas offense this weekend.
Yeah, if you're looking for motivation, you know, this is a team that has to have it. I mean, Arkansas is playing for a little respect, trying to get an SEC win, but it's a Mississippi State team that has to win out to make a postseason appearance. Yeah, so,
right.
You know, again, you could look at which one wants what it wants more. We'll find out, I guess. But early start, you know, we talked about that typically favoring the road team. And, again, with more.
Well, that means Arkansas.
Yeah, well, it depends if you ask Brett Bielema.
Yeah, because it's a road game.
Yes.
I'll bet he won't be thinking about it being a road game this week. I'll bet they'll win every home field edge they can have.
And
I hope there is a good crowd.
Yeah, there's some concern. An 11:21 start does not help. Although I will say this. We do have the First Security Ultimate Tailgate Party starting at 8 a.m., so you got plenty of time to get ready for the game. That's a full 3 hours and 21 minutes. I'm sure of it.
Can you float me a ticket or two to that?
I can float you a ticket or 9. You just tell me how many you need.
Okay. But, well, I need at least one.
Okay, well, they are free. You can go by any First Security location listed at 1037thebuzz.com. But for you, Jim, I will hand deliver. But, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. You got to come by and hang out with Baz and myself. We're going to start the pregame show at 7:30. Oh, man. I mean, it's one thing to do a show for breakfast. It's another thing to do a show before breakfast. I mean, that's,
as I like to call it, Bloody Mary 30.
Yeah.
On a Saturday morning.
It's very early. It is very early. I'm going to double dip on Saturday. I've got the UCA senior day in Conway at 3 o'clock, but I'm going to start out in War Memorial, so it'll be fun. All right, so what do you think? What's your feeling about this team, and how much do the quarterback injuries matter for Mississippi State, do you think?
The quarterback injuries for Mississippi State matter a lot. Prescott can't go at all. Dak Prescott, I don't see him being very successful with Tyler Russell offensively. They put in a true freshman against Alabama. Of course, that was feeding Christian to the Lambs, or to the Lions, or Lambs to the Lions, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I think it would obviously help Arkansas's defense a lot if the true freshman had to lead Mississippi State on the field. So with them beat up, with just coming off a pretty game effort against Alabama, and then with the Egg Bowl coming up for them the next week, I would have to think their full attention won't necessarily be on the game. I do know they have to win out to make a bowl game, and how strange it is that the SEC will be very fortunate to fill all its bowl obligations if Florida doesn't win out and Mississippi State doesn't win out. It's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, you're going to have four eligible out of the East, and you're going to have 5 eligible out of the West, I'm assuming, unless you think Mississippi State's going to win out. So,
right, and if you send one to the championship game, you got 8,
mm-hmm.
8 for 9 spots. So that'll just make it even better for somebody looking for a bowl bid, I guess.
Mississippi State's an interesting team, Jim. When you look through their season, they opened with Oklahoma State and a competitive loss, again, which seems to be a recurring theme of this season for them, 21-3.
They were horrible on offense that game.
Yeah.
If you saw that game, I mean, for that matter, if you go back on Auburn's schedule, they were not very good. Well, their opening game.
Yeah, my point is, though, I mean, you play Oklahoma State 21-3, so it's reasonably competitive despite the fact you're terrible offensively. You play at Auburn, you lose 24-20. We talked about the Alabama game already in a 20-7 loss, a 10-point loss to a very good A&M team, or at least a good offensive A&M team, at College Station, and not a terrible performance at South Carolina, 34-16. The thing is, though, they have zero quality wins. And but they've been competitive in some of these other games. So
never had any quality wins. it's probably the mark against Dan Mullen. He's been unable to beat anybody of quality, ahead of him in his time at Mississippi State. For a guy that was the brain, so to speak, behind that 2006 national championship team at Florida, offensively. They seemed to have underachieved a lot offensively, trying to get – they did have a quality Gator Bowl win. I'll give them that much credit. A few years ago when they stomped Michigan and Rich Rod. But, they have a lot of talent. And also, you hear a lot lately about Arkansas and its recruiting. Strangely, Mississippi State has not been highly regarded as far as their recruiting efforts, but they really look like they have come up with some athletes. And there were a couple of years when Ole Miss was struggling under Houston Nutt really probably Mullen out-recruited Nutt for the better Mississippi players. And, he always has some really good athletes on the field, and they do now. They have a secondary that scares me. Especially the way Arkansas's performed in its passing game.
Mm-hmm. Jim, this is Ernie Murray. You doing
hey,
okay?
Ernie. Hey, man.
You doing good?
I'm doing well.
Great. I have
good
a couple.
To hear you.
Great to hear you as well. I have a couple questions. I watched the Ole Miss Arkansas football game, and I did see some improvement offensively, but defensively, I think our weakness is our secondary. I think you just throw it up and throw it in the flat and catch it in fakers, and we're gonna try to. We're not going to go through you. We're just going to try to hand tackle you, and then you go for 70 yards. What do you think we need to do to really improve in the secondary?
Well, I think they've either said or hinted that they are making a position switch as far as Tevin Mitchell playing. His tackling's just been way off this year. I don't know. In my years of following the Razorbacks, I can't remember ever that one player – was responsible for about six tackles in the open field, didn't make them, and they went for touchdowns. I just don't remember that ever happening in the years I've watched them. They'll change there. There's just nothing they can do, really, at safety right now. They just need to, have a great recruiting year. They will get Will Hines back. I hope he's able to play. I haven't officially heard if he's cleared to play, but he had a broken hand, but he's healed with a cast on, just a protective cast now, and he's even tweeted out that he's been getting some workout time in, so he'll help him. But he's also been on the bench for close to 6 or 7 weeks too. So the good news about that, Ernie, is that I don't fear Mississippi State's passing game quite as much as everyone else's passing game they face lately. I think that's the one edge. Tyler Russell can throw it at times. Prescott's a hit or miss if he plays. And the freshman is just going to be in a new world out there, even against Arkansas's defense. It's been the whole back seven that's been the problem. The linebackers have not been good at all. The defensive front's done its job, but the linebackers haven't come up. I haven't totaled this up yet, but my column this week is going to be, I can already tell y'all, on how many tackles Arkansas's made behind the line of scrimmage. That's a good indicator of how good your back seven is against the run. And I think this very well may total out to be the worst they've had in tackles even behind the line of scrimmage by the back seven since they've been since I can go back and get stats, you know.
You know, Jim, I have one other question. You know, I know we're going to move Tevin Mitchell, probably bring him off the bench. But don't you think people in the SEC now are going to say, okay, I know this guy that's going taking his place is really green, and they're going to pick on us at that position. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think they're going to get sounder tackling from that position, or they're I don't know what's happened to Tevin. He was he looked like a pretty decent tackler when he came on board, and I don't know if his injuries have taken some of that away. I think he's a heck of a kid, and showed a lot of ability as a freshman. If they played Dean at that position, he is a true freshman. He's not a big guy by any stretch of the imagination. I think something that's hurt Arkansas this year, and it's not necessarily it's a scheme change, and you can probably relate to this. It probably would happen in basketball if a new coach came in and changed total schemes, but by giving so much cushion that they've given to these cornerbacks, and then to ask them to come up and keep the play in front of them and then make a tackle, I think in some ways the staff has underestimated some of the ability out there in the SEC of guys to catch a short pass and turn that into a big play. I think they've asked a lot of some players who aren't skilled enough to keep everything in front of them and then solidly make a tackle. But in basically most every case, you don't have a tackler breaking down and, you know, tackling through the ball carriers. It's been kind of like, dives at the feet. You've seen what happens. And, you know, plays that are six-yard plays turn into 52-yard plays. And as we've described all year, they've been gut punches.
Jim, I hate to be this way. I'm hoping Arkansas wins this week, but the bottom line is we're going to be sitting here next year. I don't know how much different a scenario Arkansas is going to be in at this point.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, I hate to be that way.
I've been thinking about it, too. But that schedule next year, I mean, you look at the games they get at home, can you expect to even at this point in time, and even with a good recruiting year, can you expect to beat Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, and Georgia? Those are your in-state games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say probably not.
It's almost better just to have them on the road and get some of those easier games at home.
But just play them all on the road next year. Just same play a home game. Just go ahead and – but on the road, they go to Mississippi State. They go to Auburn to start the season, which actually may be a good time to get Auburn.
Sure.
I mean, if you're going to get Auburn, you might as well get them after August practices and not after they've run off a bunch of wins in a row like now. But they're hard to beat even when you have them beat, as you saw Saturday. I mean,
Jeez.
That was just such a heartbreak for Mark Richt in Georgia. But, I mean, silly plays end up costing you in this game. Let's see, who else? I mean, they go on the road to play Missouri, first time ever. Missouri is obviously on an upswing, and we're starting to see just how good Doriel Green Beckham is.
Mm-hmm.
He had four touchdowns 2 weeks ago. They got a lot of people back, and I guess they will go to whoever they go to.
We go to Texas,
Texas, Dallas.
Yeah, you got Texas Tech on the road in the non-conference.
Texas Tech on the road. You have Northern Illinois, who's having a heck of a season, although their talent level and the people they play, that should be a little better matchup size-wise. Even for this Arkansas team, it'd be a good matchup.
Yeah.
And then, you expect to beat Nicholls State, and I feel comfortable that they'll beat UAB.
Right. So, I mean, again, I think you're in the same scenario. You got three wins you're expecting in the non-conference, and then you got a toss-up game.
It's a complete
like this year.
And utter rebuilding job that we tried to say was coming, but I don't. And, I mean, you said this, and you said this, and you said this, and yet you hear all this, I guess it's the vocal or the people who get on these talk shows, that we're on and speak out about Bielema and the message boards and stuff are people that just have to vent. But we saw all this coming.
Yeah, he did say, I was curious about personnel, and we talked about this maybe a little bit last week. He did say Buchanan, it's the only guy I've heard him name by name as far as guys that are going to be out of the program. He said others might follow or others probably will follow as far as looking for opportunities elsewhere next season. Do you have any concern about guys that are big contributors leaving?
I don't think any big contributors will be leaving at all. I think, guys that ought to be big contributors but aren't contributing will probably leave.
But my question is, if you're a top guy who's doing well and you've got some young guys who have proven they can play at a high level and thinking, gee, do I want to get my head kicked in again next year and then who knows what the next year?
Oh, you're talking about, the more talented players?
Yeah.
No, I think they're competitors and they're good football players. I mean, if you're talking about anybody from the guys who are playing now, like Hunter Henry, Alec Collins, you know, Jonathan Williams, you know, Denver Kirkland, any of those guys like that, no. I think that they're competitors who know that they could be, with a good follow-up class this year and getting older and, you know, playing a lot, that they'll be part of something special to turn it around. And when they do turn it around with solid recruiting classes back to back to back, it'll be something that lasts. It won't be something that was sort of fool's gold and everybody enjoyed 21 wins in two seasons.
Yeah.
But on the back of that was a disaster waiting to happen. I'm telling you that you can't convince me that, Bobby Petrino may have brought in a couple of different players that this staff didn't bring in. Of course, they brought in a whole bunch of players he wouldn't have brought in. But he would have struggled, and there would have been a lot of discontent, and there would have been a lot of probably Bobby Petrino asking, just like Houston Nutt did back in the early part of this decade or last decade, for a two-year pass to get it rebuilt again.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this, too, is that Arkansas has not produced the kind of players in one season in its high school classes that it did in the fall of 2007. You go back further than that, it happened in the fall of 2000. Think about the high level of players that came out in those, but it doesn't happen every year, and that this has always been like Arkansas. And Arkansas rides the crest of how good its in-state players are as much as anything, and that's going to have to rebound. I think there's a good sophomore junior class coming up. It's K.J. Hill at North Little Rock, and his class that's coming up is supposed to be pretty good. And certainly if it's true with basketball, I think Ernie can tell you that too. The success of Arkansas, with the exception of Todd Day and, Lee Mayberry being from out of state in that group, and Oliver Miller, the other Final Four teams that Arkansas had were built around guys like Corliss Williamson or the triplets. It really depends on what Arkansas produces, and it's hard to ask you to go outside the state and get every good player you got to have to make Arkansas competitive.
You know, Jim, and you said something that's really crucial, and I've said this on the show before. We don't grow them as much as Alabama, Mississippi. They have big-time recruits, and when we have them, we need to get them. And I say this on air again, Arkansas football is not going to be good, but really one to every 3 to 4 years. We're not going to be great every year because we don't grow them. And as I said when Bobby Petrino was here, we was great on the offensive side of the football, but we were awful on the defensive side because we kept getting on Willie Robinson, the defensive coordinator. Remember, everybody kept talking about, we just bending. Well, Bobby took all of the athletes and put them on the offensive side, and you got to be balanced in football. You know, in basketball, you can get two or three good players and get a couple role players, and you can compete. In football, if you got two or three role players and, a couple guys, you can't compete. You need much more. And they got to give the football coach time. A
couple quick things here, Jim, before we let you go. I do want to be a couple of pointed things, and then we've got to move on. But what's your prediction for this week?
I predict Arkansas to win.
Okay.
I think they'll win 27-24. I predicted before the season started that Zach Hocker's foot would be critical in a game that would put Arkansas over the top, and this would probably be it.
No, let's hope so.
I didn't think it was going to be it when the season started. I'll admit I thought maybe they could win six games. I thought that maybe there's a way that they could, you know, make this talent, take what they had and overachieve a little more, but the distance is too much to make up.
Upcoming for Arkansas basketball, of course, they're heading over to Maui. Ernie's going to get a good look on him over there. He's agreed to go over in person along with Randy Rainwater and Trey Schaap. All the guys who are
great. They had to twist Ernie's arm.
You know, Jim, I cannot believe how great these guys are to be willing to go over there and do that. I mean,
yeah,
that is special.
Man.
But
I mean, gosh, I guess
I'll go. You agree, though?
I'll go to Maui.
Agree, though, that we'll know all we need to know after that trip?
Well, you'll certainly know a lot. Syracuse is part of the tournament. Syracuse, of course, pulled out a win over a smaller team last night, I think. They ran off the last 10 points. We'll know a lot, but then they come home, and I think every game's at home until SEC play.
Right.
I'd sure love to see them, you know, get a couple of big wins in Maui, and I would really, Justin, Ernie, less than 9,000 were on hand last night.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable, Jim.
I know we're still in November, but that's kind of what you expect from some of these schools like Auburn and stuff that don't really care as much about basketball.
You were disappointed in the crowd?
Well, yeah. I was, too, because that was a big push from the coaching staff that we really need, you know, people in the seats. And let me tell you why I was disappointed. The football team is down, and most of the time in Arkansas, if one sport is down and the other one starts,
the
fans.
There was 10,000 empty seats, Justin.
I know that, Jim, but look at the numbers from look at a non-conference game, third game of the year last year. I bet they had 5,000 people.
Well, yeah, but, gosh, that wasn't – okay, so SMU was able to bring in – or attract maybe 2,000 more fans or so. I think it's a disappointing crowd for a Hall of Fame coach and a team that used to be a Southwest Conference rival. I just think that was kind of not that good.
Hmm.
I think
it was
people haven't
expected.
Been convinced. That's an exciting basketball team they have now, and I understand this game's under. I mean, that game's passed now. I hope that people know that after that game last night that that's a real exciting team that can shoot a lot better than last year and certainly has some really exciting players. And I mean, I don't think we'll ever see the days that we saw when Ernie was playing those guys. We were, selling out Barnhill and then selling out Bud Walton right after that when we moved into there. I think those days are probably gone that Arkansas sells out every single home game, but that should have been a 14,000 turnout.
Well, Jim, it was on a Monday night too. You know,
yeah, that's true.
That had a lot to do with it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and make excuses. I was actually pleased by the 8,000 compared to what I've seen in non-conference games.
I don't know how many students are buying tickets and how many can buy tickets.
Nick Saban up in here. Don't make me call Nick Saban students.
I mean, Arkansas has 25,000 students up there now, Ernie.
Yes.
That was a heck of a lot more than it was when we were hanging around up there, wasn't it?
Yes. You know what I would like to see happen? You know, I know so many student tickets are allotted, but I would really like to see them just open the floodgate for the students if the season ticket holders, you know, don't come.
Come on.
Exactly right.
I mean, let the students just come in. I would much rather see the arena packed, you know, versus it being, you know, you can see red seats in the background. But
I challenge them to show up if they made it free. I mean, you know, I challenge them to show up for this football game this weekend. I challenge Razorback fans to get behind this football team, even though they're struggling badly, and make this look like an SEC football game and a program that does believe it'll turn it around. If these fans really believe that, show up Saturday.
Jim, I agree. You got to be with them with the highs and the lows. And I'm a Razorback through and through. I'm with them when they're winning and when they're losing.
But you're not typical, Ernie. So That's I appreciate the fact that you're that way, and I wish more people were like that, and I'm the same way, but I wish more people were, but that's not necessarily typical. I'd have to go back and look at some non-conference games from last year, but I thought it was an okay turnout. Jim, real quick before we let you go, if you can, in about a minute or so, Battle of the Ravine, I don't think anybody was disappointed in the turnout of that game, and they certainly weren't disappointed by the game itself. Can you put that in perspective of all the great games you've seen over the years, not just from the Battle of the Ravine, but in general?
Well, I'll put that up there with some of the great Razorback games I've seen. I thought it was one of the most outstanding games, competitive football games, that I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just unbelievable how hard both teams played and how desperate they played to win the ball game. I mean, nobody just showed up and gave average effort. It was terrific to see. I hope people will read my column on the website, sportinglifearkansas.com. I think those kids deserve it anyway, you know, the attention that they get. As Kevin Rogers is a heck of a quarterback. Yeah. There's more to it than that. It's something special, and I was thrilled to be part of it. Triple overtime, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, how can a game that gets that much hype way exceed the hype? That's amazing.
It exceeded the hype.
Yeah.
It may be. I don't know. You'd have to ask Rex. Rex Nelson or somebody who's seen dozens of them. But, I mean, this particular game's got to be one of the best, if not the best ever in the series.
Yeah, I would think so.
Of course, they had that one a couple years ago, you know, that – ends with on the inch line or mm-hmm. something,
yeah.
You know, it's like Henderson stops Wichita and denies them, maybe an undefeated season or a conference champion. I can't remember exactly what was on the line there, mm-hmm. but it was on the line, literally
yes.
on the line.
No doubt. Well, now
line.
Henderson's got to make it count. They get a home game against St. Cloud State. Then if they win, they go to Minnesota State Mankato.
That can't be fun.
No, I can't imagine.
They're on the road, but they got – take care of business here first.
Yeah, and last year, of course, there was so much hype about this team, and then they unfortunately fell flat on their face once they got in the playoffs. So hopefully they can.
You know what? I'm surprised. I won't keep you long, but I just want to say I'm surprised they let 24 teams into the playoffs in Division II. I can't believe they can't find. Narrow it down to 16. That sounds like a lot of playoff games. Somebody's got to play 5 games to win it.
But they only play 10 or 11 games, depending. So.
Right, they play a 10-game or 11-game season, so it ends up almost like the Texas high school playoff or something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a case to be made there. I like to be more inclusive, and that's how, you know, the FCS level's expanded to 24 too. But anyway, yeah, you're right. If you're coming from the back,
it's... I didn't know that either, but that, yeah, okay.
So
I knew that had been 16 for a while, but
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if they ever got that way with Division I, I just don't see how they could have people, you know, banging heads like that for 5 more weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, football is a demanding, grueling, physical game. It just takes so much out of you. And anyway, I just hope Henderson's able to go a ways with it because they have a heck of a ball club.
Well, they're the only
even
one.
If they do look just like Alabama.
That's true.
They look like Alabama in their uniform.
Nobody's perfect, yes. Well, they are representing the state because they're the only school that made it. So good luck to them for sure. And, Jim, we appreciate the time very much. SportingLiveArkansas.com.